9/20/21. I am Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. We are live. We are coming from a symposium called Clay Clark's Reawakening Tour. There are roughly 3,200 people in the audience right now listening to various speakers, and it is phenomenal. The energy and excitement is beyond belief. And I don't know, I'm looking at this business card of our next guest, Megaphone Marine. So I take it that you served in the Marines, so thank you for your service. Dr. Cordy Williams is running for United States Senate in California, and you are going to unseat who?
Well, we're going to unseat the guy that actually wasn't voted in. Started about 2 years ago. It was about 2 years ago. I was found myself backed up against the wall, like a lot of Americans, with lockdowns and mandates, and you know, a draconian dictator like you have in the nation. And my wife and I just started protesting. On the third protest, I talked out some riot in the Sacramento Capitol. We got 21 million views, and so a lot of media sources were calling me the Megaphone Marine. And after 18 months on the road with the organization I founded called 1776 Rebel Free.
Well, that's what it is, all those T-shirts I've been seeing out.
All those T-shirts okay. You're saying, brother. That's my deal. Well, God.
We have a situation, and I'm just scrolling through the news stories here, about the L.A. school board firing 496 unvaccinated employees. What's your 40,000-foot take on that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's the take we've had from the get-go when we launched this campaign on November 6th in Miami Beach, California, and that's this. Humbly, 2022 is a happen. Win is the other side's going to take choice on what goes into our kids' brains and veins out of the hands of the parents. And I think all of us should be scared and frightened by that, Dave, because you take away constitutional choice, you take away the republic. You want to vaccinate your family, you want to vaccinate yourself, you want to put on a mask, God bless you. You have the right under the Constitution to do that. But how dare you take away my 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment and tell me as a parent that I have to do that and take away my choice. And that's where we've just gone over the line with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's something that really disturbs me, is seeing Gavin Newsom going out and partying with people. He's not wearing a mask and everybody else has to do this. It's only for me, not for thee. And this hypocrisy in politics today, do you see that changing, or is this just going to be one big uphill battle?
Well, it's going to change if people get what plays do. I've been on the road for him for every tour date so far. I was probably the 8th person that he called on the phone. And I said, hands down, of course, it's been a long time. But here's what people have to understand. The tours, the rallies, they're great. They build action. They build momentum. At the end of the day, what every individual out there needs to understand, and every California voter, is patriotism is not about what you get. It's about what you give up. And what we need back in here, I say that word, leadership in Washington, leadership from a governmental standpoint, is we need lions and lionesses that are servant leaders, meaning they're willing to give more than they get, because that's really what it's about. When you're doing the will of the people and the will of your constituents, it's a thankless job, and it should be. There's a $173,000 salary, not a $173 million salary, like some of these morons like Mitch McConnell, and they're on both sides. The establishment. It's not about Trump or Biden. It's not about what race you are. It's not about what gender you are. It's not about who you want to bet with last night. It's how do you want to see your kids 2 generations from now? Where do you want this country to be? And I think it's a country that has to be just filled with choice. People have to have the opportunity. We're not getting into a conversation of killing babies. We are getting into a conversation talking about what goes into their brains and what goes into their veins. And parents have a right to choose that.
Well, the bigger problem I see, and I know that the senators out there like Rand Paul, they've been looking at the data. And see, I'm a data kind of person. I have been sucking up data ever since this lockdown being with all of this nonsense, and now the FDA wants 75 years to disclose all of the junk that's been going on with these vaccines. They're calling them vaccines. I call them a jab. These things are nothing but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I make the personal choice not to vaccinate my family because I'm mystified by the fact that we're talking about a virus with a 99.9% survival rate. Meanwhile, we know that there's this luciferase spike protein altering, mRNA altering concoction mix, and they want to put that in our kids. And if you're in the military, they want to say you have to do it. Let's say you're somebody that voted for Biden. Let's say you vote blue. The one thing we can all agree on is how dare you, however you voted. Back any candidate that wants to be coming to your house right now, and you've got a little girl, a little boy that's 4 or 5 years old, and they forcibly try to hold that child down to vaccinate that child. I don't know what you would do, but I know what I would do. And I got 4 years of experience doing it.
Oh, yes, you do.
And, you know, it just pains me to see that. I'm not inciting violence, but I am inciting constitutional resolve. Because I just think that we're at this tipping point right now where parents need to decide, do you want to be the guy that your kids respect or the gal that your kids respect that left a legacy? Or do you want to be the one that just talked about it? And that's kind of where we're at right now.
Sure. And I mean, we just had Wendy Williams, who's a firefighter from Orange County, on the microphone, and she was literally saying, look, you know, that same diet. My whole concern is that you mentioned the word tipping point. I have asked so many people about this Rasmussen survey, this poll they took. 31% of the people at the time they took it, which was last year, basically said, do you believe that America will be in another civil war within 5 years? And all the special force ops guys I talked to go, no, not 5 years, 2. You serious about that? He goes, yes, they are collapsing this economy so fast that we face a situation where it's not going to be just a matter of rioting and looting that you are dealing with. Massive scale. Citizens, because law enforcement is not there because of what they've done in your state, especially with this defund garbage, they're going to actually take the law into their own hands no matter what the consequence. What's your feeling on all this?
Well, I'm always going to discourage that. I mean, I'm the guy that has this, you know, concealed carry. I've got a Glock in New York, 15,000 rounds in my closet, right? But I think that we should always exhaust. You know, if you'll remember our founding fathers, I think it was 2 or 3 years before they even considered anything like that. Peaceful negotiations, peaceful legislation, civil disobedience. You know, one of the big things, you know, that I push back on that narrative of violence, you know, I'm against it. Until the last possible breath, everything should be like ever been.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of the things that we advocate. We don't want to see violence in America, but, you know, we've had one civil war already. 600,000 people are dead. We're not loading musket balls and powder anymore with a ramrod. We have high-tech weaponry.
And that's why I would never encourage that. I would never support it. You know, to be candid, I don't even like to answer the question. Civil disobedience, and our leaders, Republican or Democrat, need to be standing up for people's First Amendment rights to say, you know what, you've got to be, you know, it's guys like even Joe Manchin, right? Joe Manchin the other day was saying, like, he may walk away from the Democratic Party, right?
That's what I'm hearing.
And what I would love is for people with some type of conviction or resolve, the reason they got into office, to just step back for a second, Dave, and say, you know what? What they're doing isn't right. This goes far beyond my own pocketbook, my own benefit, my own party. This isn't right. And if they're going to try to push that policy through, I'm going to use my power, money, and influence to get 10,000 people outside their doorstep, 10,000 people peacefully protesting in a parade, whatever you want to call it, in a protest where they march the streets. Look at how much that's done. Even all the things that have transpired were Patriots who were quiet, asleep, and even 4 years ago never would have thought of standing up, and now they're standing up with their kids. And so that's really, I'll just move you away from the, you know, the conversation about, you know, guns and bullets and civil war, and just say, we haven't exhausted. There's so much more I feel like we could do. And that's not a political talking point. That's just reality.
Sure.
Right? Because I don't know how productive it was in 1860. I would say if they could have done 10 more things to prevent it, anybody involved in that conflict, I think they would still hit. They were alive. We could have done more. We should have done more. And we always want to prevent anybody taking up arms, you know, against their brother or their sister or, you know, their family.
My whole take, and the reason I bring this stuff up, is because of all this background that's going on right now with summoning the UN, trying to force its leftist agenda into the UN to get the UN to come into America and do something. And the last thing that I think any American wants to do is have to see a whole stream of powder blue helmets coming down the street with guns after him. This is what's got a lot of people upset, and that's what they're telling me.
Yeah, well, there's two things I follow, and it's the Holy Bible, man, Jesus Christ, and it's the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution has a multitude of different amendments that protect us. And the only time I would ever encourage anybody to question what was happening is processes of violations to those amendments, and they had exhausted all the other possibilities of negotiation, litigation, education, and civil disobedience, which I think, honestly, that's what I've been saying from stage for 18 months. We just began the civil disobedience process. There's so much power we have there. So much power we have there to get guys that are running for office or guys that are in office to back that up. The problem is, you have takers and exploiters. Going back to what we're going to have earlier, you know that as well as I do. You don't have servant leadership. You have people that are out to get for them. And that's the difference you've got to make. So, you know, you asked a few minutes ago, like, why did I do this? People ask me that all the time. I did it because of a 5-year-old. And a lot of dead Marines, and a lot of names on the Vietnam Memorial, and a lot of tombstones in Arlington. There's one thing I know, Dave, is, man, all those guys that General Leroy Sisko gives 900 homes to a year, those guys were a stand for us, and now it's the time for us to be a stand for them.
Makes sense. Dr. Cordy Williams, I wish you a lot of luck. You have a big border crisis to deal with once you get there, and I certainly hope that you do unseat Alex Padilla, because nothing is going to change unless we put people in there that stop becoming self-serving and start acting on behalf of the people. We the people is where it's at. And we thank you for being on the Power Hour. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Dave. God bless you, Semper Fi.
God bless you, too, and Semper Fi as well. All right, there you have it. Dr. Cordy Williams, Megaphone Marine, running for United States Senate in California. He has a booth here at the Lake Park Reawakening Tour. Things just keep getting better. Just keep getting better. We have had the crowd has died down a little bit. That's a good thing. So we can actually hear people now. We have one of the frontline doctors, Angelina Perella. She is a doctor out of Webster, Texas. I have an attorney friend of mine that lives in Webster, Texas, as a matter of fact. He's up in his 70s, and he's still practicing law. The last attorney I talked to is Angie. The last doctor I talked to, you know, I'm in practicing law. And I said, but you're 75 years old. He goes, yeah, I have vices. And I go, really? What? He goes, well, I like to eat. So anyway, we have Angelina Perella, and she is one of the America's Frontline Doctors. We have talked about being on the front line and what that means. Being on the front line means that you basically stand out from the crowd, and you have spoken. You pretty much said no. What prompted you to do that?
You know, in the very beginning of the pandemic, what we noticed what most of us doctors that really treat patients on a day-to-day basis was that everything seemed very unusual for the medical community. I mean, there was a lot of red flags. You know, when in the world have we ever shut down hospitals for 2 weeks? When have we shut down doctor hospitals for 2 weeks? And that was just the very beginning of it. And I couldn't stand it. I just said, no, I'm not hurting patients. I refuse to do that. I'm a pediatrician by trade. I've been a pediatrician for about 25 years. But I opened my doors to a doctor as a patient. You don't turn a sick patient away. It just doesn't make any sense. It's against our oaths, against our ethical code. And so, that's kind of how I grew into it. And, you know, I understood at the very beginning this is a respiratory virus. We didn't know what we were getting into. So I cautioned just like everyone else did. But once we started to learn more, we came about pretty quickly. By the summer of 2020, we had protocols in place. We got a college protocol, Dr. Lincoln's protocol. And we were getting shut down.
You were getting into my next question because I was going to ask you. Now, you can't be a frontline doctor without pushback.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was even in the community, they welcomed you but then shunned you at the same time, which is really strange. But in my estimation, I just said, this is wrong. We cannot shut down. And I heard welcoming everyone because guess what? It's an infectious kid. And we were so excited, or at least I was. I was like, this is an infectious kid. This is awesome. And so for me, it was pretty cool in my office because the kids weren't getting infected. The kids weren't sick. And if they got sick, it was a little runny nose for a day or two when it was over and they were fine. So it was the adults, though, that were delaying treatment that were getting sick. So my goal was to try to get them in the office in the first 5 days so that we could start treatment immediately as quickly as possible. Because in my mind, if I treated this virus like the flu, the pandemic would have been over almost immediately. But instead, we treated it like a flu.
Yeah, that's a big problem is because the government, in my book, found it useful to use this as a fear mechanism for the means of control, which this is where America's Frontline Doctors.org, I think that happened just as a direct result of government behavior. Would that be an accurate statement?
Absolutely. I mean, all local governments, state, national, all shut down. And, you know, we thought it was for 2 weeks, so I think some of us thought that might be a little bit reasonable because at the time, we did not know what we were dealing with. But at the same time, I went into the office every day. Just in case, because I was going to be there for somebody if somebody needed me. We have this mentality in our country where we listen way too much to the media and we listen way too much to people in what I would call authority, right? And unfortunately, we lose our common sense when we do that. We really do. And in medicine, doctors lost their sense of common sense and they lost their sense of camaraderie, which is very dangerous. So doctors, 2 or 3 years ago, if we had a disagreement, we would disagree, we would have intellectual banter between us. And that's, you know, I might have punched you a little bit, you might have punched me, but then when they agree to disagree, it'll be a bit. That's how it goes. But now, if they don't agree with what you have to say, immediately you're spreading disinformation, or they just shun you, or you get fired if you're a part of the university system. Like, the doctor have remained doctors. Doctors have got to be doctors. Whenever you put something between the doctor and the patient, whether it's an insurance company, a pharmaceutical company, a drugstore, an insurance company, I don't care what it is, you're driving that wedge further and further away from the patient. That is very dangerous. And I'm going to include now HR departments, human resource departments now. You know, they don't want to take a doctor's note that says a patient has an underlying medical issue and cannot get a shot if they're in a mandated occupation. That's ridiculous. Since when are they doctors? Go to med school, and then you can determine if my patient has a problem. If you don't have the right to ask me to reveal their HIPAA-protected information, you don't have the right, nor do you have the authority or the knowledge base to trump my medical needs. I write down that napkin, and you still have to take it.
Well, and the thing is, too, Angie, is you have seen firsthand that these kids that you are looking at that have runny noses don't need the facts.
Correct.
And is that where the stand, that's where the
Absolutely.
Stand really came in. Yeah.
And I've been yelling about this for, I don't even know how long. You know, I really thought, unfortunately, maybe naive, I really thought they were going to leave the kids. You know, back in November of 2020, when we heard about the rollout of the vaccine and what it was and how it was being formulated, it made me very nervous. I thought about it and I said, you know, I've been giving vaccine for 20 years. We've never had a vaccine like this. I started doing some research on it. It killed almost every animal that it ever was injected in. It's a failed technology in humans, and it's very dangerous. And it even said at the end of the study, you know, use extreme caution if it was ever to be considered in humans.
If you could turn that microphone just a little bit towards your mouth. We have a lot of ambient noise in the room, obviously, and it's driving our listeners crazy, I'm sure. But the thing is, one, you've identified the fact that kids don't need this jab. We have a woman, for example, news reports indicate that she lied to authorities and told them her daughter was 5 when in fact she was 4 just so she could get the jab. You know, you got stuff like this because these people have been fed so much disinformation, and when doctors try to come out to tell the truth, really? Now there's something I didn't know. Explain a little of that.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors, and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
To get back, 12:32 p.m., December 9th, 2021. Thursday with Dave Krieger here on the Power Hour. And yes, it does sound a little bit noisy, but we're trying to get past all that, move some microphones around so we can finish our conversation here with Angelina Ferrella. She is an MD, and her big thing is pediatrics. She has a Brighter Tomorrow pediatrics practice in Webster, Texas. And it is so good once again to have you back from a different side of the table. She's actually sitting next to me now. And the thing is nobody's wearing a mask in here. I think we've all come to the conclusion that this COVID thing is overblown.
It's been overblown since day one, square one. It really has. And we've been hoodwinked from the beginning, and I don't care if you're a physician or if you're not a physician, everyone has been hoodwinked, because even in the beginning, I felt hoodwinked. I knew something was up, though, and a lot of us were really suspicious because of being in the medical community for so long and realizing this is a complete, total reversal, upside down, inside out, outlook, the way physicians were told to treat COVID. We've never told patients before, hey, you're sick, stay home until you're almost dead and then come in. We've never ever done that before. And that's literally what has gone on in this country over and over again. We could have prevented hundreds of thousands of deaths if we started treating COVID like the flu and not like the plague. And honestly, some of the flu medications work really, really nicely against COVID. You know, if you don't have to have the ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine if you get treated very early. It's not that hard. It's a respiratory illness.
So you're basically talking like a Z-Pak and some prednisone.
Just like we did in 2019. Just like we did. You know, how about some breathing treatments? You know, budesonide is not a revolutionary thing. I've been using budesonide for over 20 years. You know, it's beautiful. I love it. I use it in kids all the time. When they were like, oh, use budesonide in COVID, I thought, duh. No kidding. Why wouldn't you use budesonide? I use budesonide in asthma and in flu and in all kinds of respiratory disease all the time. So for me, when that great revelation came out, I just was like, well, check. I've been doing that for 3 or 4 months. Not a big deal. But everyone thinks so differently now. Doctors think so differently now. And here, let me just bring this up. You know, we're into this almost 2 years now. Where is the wonderful outpatient protocol from Mayo Clinic or some other bigwig university like UCLA? Where is it? There isn't one. Instead, we have doctors standing up for truth like Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Peter McCullough. These guys, Dr. Simone Gold, came out. Dr. Lozano here in Dallas.
Oh, and Jane Ruby.
Right? Jane Ruby. These doctors came out early with just going and blowing, right? And they got shut down, canceled, ridiculed, threatened. It's ridiculous. Now we have the Federation of State Medical Boards telling us that if we are spreading disinformation, that they're threatening our boys. Well, that's ridiculous. Because they don't determine what a great doctor is. Well, they give us a piece of paper that says we're board certified. That's all they do.
But then the thing is, you know, when they tell you to do stupid stuff like don't come back till your lips turn blue, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, what are you going to do now? Oh, we're going to put you on a ventilator and give you a big dose of expensive remdesivir, and that's going to basically shut down your kidneys and fill your mediastinum up with fluid. How does that grab you? And then you're not going to be able to see your loved one because, oh, they died of COVID. Check. How much? $39,000 later, the hospital,
exactly.
They've been breaking it in.
Yeah, when you monetize a diagnosis, that is dangerous. That will totally bias the medical community. And I'm not talking about the independent docs for the most part. I'm talking about the large universities that went from bankruptcy, and there's one big one here in Texas. They were going bankrupt in March of 2020, to a windfall of millions and millions and millions of dollars in just 6 months. How does that happen? How does that happen?
Yeah.
It only happens with corruption. That's how it happens.
Well, at least you're bringing people this awareness. They need to know that this corruption is going on, and it's played right into the university, not just all this critical race nonsense, but they've actually drunk the Kool-Aid because they saw a way to make a profit.
Absolutely. And it's to the patient's detriment. It is not what we stand for. Physicians know that our oath first is to do no harm. That's our oath. Our oath is to take care. I can go to med school not to take care of a patient. That is not why I went to med school. So I don't understand the doctors that are actually standing idly by, and I pray for them, honestly, because they really, they're in a bad place. They're in a really, really evil, bad place. I really feel that either they are so tied into their identity, which also includes their prosperity, right? Because they will lose their job if they don't pull the line. But I don't understand how they can be blinded to what they're doing to their patient. I just don't understand that. It really hurts me to the core, and it worries me. It worries me for the future generations, really, honestly. I have 3 children that are teenagers, and I'm really concerned in the future. I'm really concerned that they will never have a good doctor to take care of them. And that's a very sad thought. Coming from a physician who dedicated
her life to it. And a pediatrician,
too.
Right? You know, that's the other thing that gets me, too, is that you're there at their formative years when they're growing up, and you know how they grow up, and you see all of these jabs that they're giving these kids, and the next thing you know, we've got myocarditis, you've got all this garbage, and yet the narrative never changes. And not only that, but the news now says the definition of fully vaccinated is going to change.
Of course it is, because, you know, you have to make money on each other. So, you know, you have to understand, why didn't doctors get... Here's another one for you. Are you ready for this
one? I'm ready.
Why didn't physicians that give shots all the time, like I did, right? I give shots all the time, non-anti-vaxxer. I still, through the pandemic, gave kids their normal childhood vaccinations as necessary. Why wasn't I allowed to have that vaccine? You know, it was so ideal and it was so special that you had to have special freezers. It had to be kept at special temperatures that are ridiculous. And I'm thinking to myself, how did we come here? Where did we go? This is ridiculous. So they took it out of our hands, and where can you go and get that shot? In big box stores, right? Like, they have 3 big letters on the outside, and they supposedly they're for your health, and you go there to get your medicine. These humongous pharmaceutical companies have just incentivized every large box store pharmacy across the nation. That's where you go? You mean to tell me they have better refrigerators than I do?
Well, we're talking grocery stores, too, and here's the thing that blows me away. I'm in a grocery store. I'm seeing one of these apparently uneducated individuals that have drunk the Kool-Aid, believe everything the government tells them, and they sit down, and the person comes up who is a pharmacy tech, and they're going to give him a jab. We don't know whether they're going to hit him in the vein. We don't know whether they're going to hit him in the muscle because it's supposed to be IM in the deltoid. And they're telling their patient or the person sitting there getting ready to take the jab, it's safe and effective. And these people, that's almost like giving medical advice.
Well, and they're not properly informing them to consent, right? So informed consent is extremely important. And if you actually go to the pharmacy and you ask them, there's like this little checkbox that states that you were offered proper informed consent, which is another couple of pages that no one ever reads. No one reads, and it's never presented. So if it's not presented, then people don't know. And honestly, if you look at the product information on there, guess what? Some of them are blank. That's very troubling because that's where I get a lot of my information from, is from the product information sheet. So if I have some concerns or I want to know very specifics, that's supposed to be listed in the product information sheet, and they're blank. Because it's not FDA approved. It's under emergency use authorization, even for the children. And here's something I really want to drive home. We have never, never given anything in pediatrics without at least 3 to 5 years of safety and efficacy data. We don't even have 1 year of safety data, but we sure have efficacy data, and we know it sucks. The efficacy drops way below 50% in 3 months. These are not vaccines. The definition of vaccine is you have to have over 50% efficacy for 12 months or more.
Why do you think the FDA is stalling the Epic Times and other journalist outlets that all want data? And they want to wait 75 years. This is what they're telling a federal judge. We got to wait 75 years before we have accurate data. No, maybe it's because you haven't succeeded in your goal of wiping out as many people in the population of the United States and the rest of the world that you've been able to with the jab. And people are just starting to wake up, which I'm assuming that's one of the reasons you're here.
Well, I mean, think about it. That's 2 generations away.
Oh, that's scary.
It's 2 generations away, so think of it that way, too.
Yeah.
Because when I heard that, same exact thing that you heard, and then all of a sudden, you know, there was a big push, and they did release 500 pages. And if you actually comb through there, there is data in there that tells you that it is twofold more dangerous in mortality. So if the, let me just restate this, because this is a little confusing. So when you, if you are suffering from COVID or you have contracted COVID, you have a 99%+ survivability without any treatment at all, without any treatment at all. In kids, it's 99.997%. In the data that was released, the 500 pages, it showed that they have a 2% mortality in the vaccinated group. You are twofold more likely to die from the vaccine than the illness itself. How is this moral, ethical, and right?
How is it not violating the Nuremberg Code?
Don't even get me started.
No, I really do want to get you started. I really do, because to me, you know, Fauci and everybody else, I call him Dr. Anthony Mangala for a reason. He needs to be in prison.
More than that, Mike.
Okay. All right. So we need a Mussolini treatment.
You're talking to a woman whose mother survived the Holocaust.
Oh.
As a child prisoner.
Oh. All right.
This is a very deep seated issue for me.
Okay, I'm all ears. Our listeners are all ears because you have relatives that actually went through this L, which is what it was.
I even had an uncle who escaped the gulag 4 times. He was a Russian dissident. So my relatives are from Belarus, and I think Americans don't understand what happened back in the 30s. When the Nazis came through, and actually the Russians came through as well, they were trying to scoop up people to fight for them on their side. And in Belarus, there was resistance. My grandfather, my mother's father, was resistant. He was shot in the street. My mother's mother was shot next door. They were killed right there.
All because they said no.
All because they said no.
So you see, folks, this is something that, you know, I keep trying to push, and this isn't my narrative, it's reality. is that at some point in time in the future, if we don't get a handle on Congress and get a handle on what is going on in the White House, we may be faced with the same issue with somebody coming at us, and it won't be to ask for help or to join our side. It'll be like what is happening in Australia right now.
It'll be a boxcar.
Yeah.
The boxcars are waiting for us, buddy. They're out here. There's no doubt in my mind. I have lost confidence. I don't want to say faith. I lost confidence in our elected officials. I was in D.C. a couple of weeks ago. We actually talked to representatives all over this nation. And I can tell you, they feel that their hands are tied. Even in the Freedom Caucus guys, their hands are tied right now.
By who?
Well, they don't have the majority. And even if they had the majority, they would still have a big uphill battle. Because look at the 60-plus Republicans that just voted for a really crappy bill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, with the 80 that voted for the vaccine data gathering?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
I remember
that one. I'm sorry, I said 60.
Yeah.
I was 20 under.
Yeah, 20 under.
But
the thing is that this whole scenario, just for one reason or another, why Republicans would sit there and turn against the American people when they are supposed to have conservative value, unless something internally in their clockwork changed, whether it was a bribe, whether or not it was a threat. Yeah, this is the way politics works. And so, you know, it's like, I don't know what
they lost sight. I just, you know, I think this fight, the reason why I'm here today is because the fight is no longer in Congress. The fight is no longer in our state representatives. The fight is on the ground here with each individual. I tell people this all the time. Look, the way we're going to prevent children from getting the jab is to tell parents not to take their kid to get the jab. Hello. A five-year-old doesn't drive. Let's just be realistic here. More than 50% of our kids were immune to COVID before COVID even came to this country. Do you know that? And yet, all the fear-mongering, if this child brings COVID home, they're going to kill grandma. We have done more psychological damage to our children with fear-mongering and masking, because now we have children born after the year 2020, January 2020, their IQ has dropped 20 points. We're talking about 18 months. 20 points. So what is that going to extrapolate to in 2 to 3 years?
Well, let's talk about the number of suicides, because of depression is a result of all this. No, I see that. Don't get me started look on your face, Angie. It's one of those things that it all goes with the territory. I mean, this is what Fauci and the government, NIH, CDC, and every time Walensky opens her mouth, I just want to put my fist in it.
Well, you know, here's the sad fact. This is data points, right? We lost about 300 kids to COVID through 2 years of the COVID quote-unquote pandemic. We have lost more than that now since the jab was introduced. So more kids have died from the jab since it was introduced than died of COVID for the entire 2 years. This is the first time in history we're counting a season that will not stop. We don't do that. Like in flu, it's from October to February, right?
I'm just going to ask you about that.
Right,
the
October.
Flu. But the ratio is about the same as the flu deaths.
It is. But now everything's falsified. So a lot of the numbers are falsified. I mean, you died of COVID if you died in a car wreck and they swabbed your nose and it was positive. I mean, come on. Realism now, because it was monetized. They could make that money. And that's where everything is just so corrupt and so we no longer as physicians like me. I am so skeptical of everything now. And I never was that way. I really thought, I mean, I was naive. I really thought, because I was a doctor back in 99 when I had to pull rotavirus off the shelves. Rotavirus. It was taken off the shelves for a non-lethal condition of 15 kids. 15 kids were infected. So I was like, oh, wow. You know, they really care about our kids. Look, they really care about safety. We're pulling this stuff off, and it's going to make a big difference. Then fast forward, and I'm going, okay, the stop of myocarditis was 9. 9. We have over 5,800 kids now with permanent heart disease.
Oh, my. And this is all since this started. Now, here's the thing. And I reflect, since you were talking about Holocaust, what is going on in Israel right now with the data coming out of Israel? A majority of the COVID cases are those who were vaccinated.
Multiple times.
not the unvaccinated.
No,
but yet they're pointing a finger at all of us. I would say that a majority of the people that are attending this Clay Clark's Reawakening right now have not had the vaccine.
That's probably a very, yeah.
An accurate statement. And those who did are probably going, oh, my God, what have I done? They put their faith in Lord God Fauci, the patron saint of Wuhan, rather than in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ God. So that's a real defining moment for a lot of people and why they came here is for healing. There are a lot of ministers that are speaking in this audience today to this audience. But then there's a lot of frontline doctors that are coming out that have actually, I mean, Peter McCullough will be here speaking. Richard Bartlett, I believe, may be next door here, and he's doing an interview right now. So, and Richard Bartlett is the one that actually, when I first heard his interview regarding Udesonide, I'm like, you gave that to this guy in the ER thinking maybe that would clear up his lungs to where he could breathe. And sure enough. And see, but you've known this because you use it.
I use it all the time. I use it every day. It's like an everyday medicine in my office. We put in nebulizers. I mean, think about it. This is the first time in history that we have removed medical equipment to help patients. Ambulances were not allowed to carry nebulizers because it would nebulize open. I was like, this is ridiculous. And this has happened recently, too. I had to literally save a patient from the ER because she was a known asthmatic, one of my patients, known asthmatic. And I said, can you just give her a breathing treatment and see how she responds? And the doctor, I was speaking with the ER doctor, she said, we can't do that. Why? She said, well, because it'll spread COVID. And I said, but she has 3 negative COVID tests, so she doesn't have COVID. Her asthma's flaring up, and she sounds like she has community-acquired pneumonia. So treat the pneumonia and treat the asthma, and she'll get better. We can't do that here. Because she might have COVID, we just want to transfer her to the hospital.
Oh.
So I said to the doc, I said, okay, well, let's do this. Do you feel comfortable transferring my patient to me? I will see her and treat her in the office, which was 15 minutes away. I said, please transfer her to my care. I'll take care of her. I'll take responsibility and bring her over.
And it was done.
And what ensued was, yes, she was perfectly fine 3 days later. I gave her breathing treatments in the office. I gave her injections of some antibiotic for her pneumonia and told her to call me in 2 days if she wasn't better. I gave her instructions for home treatment. She got better. She got better in 3 days. She was totally fine, back to normal, back to baseline.
But see, all the protocols that started with Fauci and all of this, yeah, you got it.
Fear. We're still dealing with fear. You don't use a nebulizer because it's going to nebulize COVID. Are you kidding me? You use a nebulizer to get the medicine into people's lungs so that it opens up and they can breathe. This is not rocket science. I promise.
Yeah. So
this is something we've been doing forever.
What's your take on nebulizing? Because Joe McCullough and others have been talking about nebulizing hydrogen peroxide, food grade, mixing it with saline. And do you find that a bit
of... So I use a lot of saline in general, especially with young children. I use lots of saline
sure.
to break up the upper respiratory junk in a nebulizer. It works beautifully.
Just saline by itself?
Just by itself.
Oh. Yeah. No hydrogen peroxide.
No, I do use some hydrogen peroxide. I do use a special mix as well for my adult patients, my older patients. I don't necessarily have to even... Again, the kids aren't getting sick. The kids are fine. So, like, I don't have a need to use it in children because the kids are fine. It's the adults that are problematic, so I treated adults with it.
And so,
it works.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it does. Now, the number of patients that you have treated that allegedly have COVID, or, I mean, you don't test for COVID in your office, do you?
No.
I didn't think so. So what's your take on the PCR tests? Are they as bogus as everybody says they are?
You know, I don't trust them.
Thank you.
I just don't trust them. So I, you know, and they're expensive for a private practice doc to have, and I just... I'm a clinician. I can figure it out. I'm not that dumb. You know, I've been doing this a while.
Yeah,
I think I can figure out when my patient in front of me is sick. So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, we have to know. I'm I'm like, well, if they have the flu or if they have a respiratory illness, you're going to tell them to stay home, take care of themselves until they're asymptomatic and get better. Like, I'm not going to send a sick patient into the school or send them into the workplace. Like, I don't understand. This is what we've always done. We've done that with flu. I mean, we don't tell a patient that has flu, oh, you have the flu, make sure you go to work tomorrow.
Okay? Of course not.
You know, you're sick as a dog, cough all through everyone else in that office. No, you don't do that. You tell them to stay home, rest, drink tons of fluids, take your flu medication, Tamiflu, Bandage, Zofluza, whatever, and do your breathing treatments if you need them. Here's some prednisone if you need it, oral prednisone, oral steroids. Maybe you need a Z-Pak because you have something else going on. Sure. Take lots of vitamin D. I've been a preacher of vitamin D in my patient population for over 10 years because children with asthma, if their vitamin D level is high, their asthma does not flare as much.
Interesting.
Okay. So I've been doing that for years. So when they said vitamin D, I'm like, okay, check, done it. I've been there, check. So a lot of the stuff is inherently there already for doctors. This is in their toolbox. This is not anything new and exciting or dangerous or whatever. Ivermectin, we slather children in ivermectin for scabies and for lice. Ivermectin is very dangerous to a louse. Just let you know.
To a what?
Louse.
Oh, to a louse, yes. You louse. Have you been talking about Fauci again? All right. Angie is grinning. We don't have a whole lot of time left. We have been with Dr. Angelina Barella. She owns a pediatric practice in Webster, Texas, just outside of Houston. It has been absolutely wonderful being with you and getting your take on this thing. Folks, it's one of the reasons why we're here at Clay Clark's Reawakening Tour. Dave Krieger with you. We're just about out of time here today, and hopefully you heard most of that interview. We didn't have a whole lot of drowning out. The room is very busy. We are in a media room, for those of you that want to know where we are. Angelina just happened to be in the same room across from us. And you've been just basically just talking to people.
That's what I'm doing.
Which is a good thing. And so, folks, that's one of the reasons why we're here. Dave Krieger, the Power Hour, it's been wonderful. We will be back again tomorrow from Dallas. In the meantime, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Amen.
All heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.